In Jules Verne's 1864 novel Journey to the Centre of the Earth, the main characters haven't gone far on their voyage before they stumble upon a giant subterranean ocean, complete with prehistoric fighting reptiles. Aside from the ichthyosaurs, geologists suspect that Verne was partially right. The deep earth actually does harbour a lot of water. But it's so deep, hundreds of kilometres down, that it's impossible to find direct evidence. Until a messenger from the depths comes to the surface. A messenger in the form of a diamond, formed in the deep earth and shuttled upwards, perhaps by a violent eruption. These gems can reveal the environment of the deep earth. So are the depths a desert or a watery wonderland? I spoke to Graham Pearson, whose team has been examining the innards of a very rare diamond found in river deposits in western Brazil.
Over the past 25 years or so, people have been speculating about how much water is trapped within the deep earth itself. So most of the hydrosphere and exosphere, where all the water is contained that people see on an everyday basis, ultimately comes from the deep earth in one way or another, via outgassing through volatiles that were accreted to the earth when the earth formed. People have speculated both on the basis of experiment and on the basis of remote sensing using techniques like geophysics, that the water might be housed somewhere like the transition zone, this zone within the deep earth that's between 410 and 670 kilometres deep. That's been the prime candidate for the location of a lot of water.
Now, as you hinted at there, the main way of studying this question, of studying this transition zone hundreds of kilometres below the surface, is indirect. It's remote sensing, or it's making kind of fake versions of these minerals, if you like, in the lab. But here you've got something a bit more direct than that.
Yes, so one of my main research areas is using diamonds to inform us about the composition and dynamics of the deep earth. And the beauty of diamonds is that they're really unique capsules of the deep earth. Because of the way that diamonds form and the way they're transported to the surface, then they actually encapsulate tiny little tens of micron size fragments of those regions of the earth, and they provide us with those samples at the earth's surface.
And tell me about the sample that's the star of your paper.
So this is a diamond that's one such diamond. It's one of these so-called ultra-deep diamonds. They look basically as though they've been to hell and back. So you could almost get the sense just by looking at these. They look very different from normal lithospheric diamonds. It's a patchy brown colour that it has. It's got a surface that looks rather like the surface of the moon.
And this one, its inclusion is very unusual in itself, isn't it? And it can tell you about this question you had about water in the deepest depths of the earth.
Yes, it's the solid inclusions that the diamonds trap when they grow, the pieces of the silicate earth that are special in this case. So our particular diamond, my research student John McNeil was sifting through a pile of these diamonds, and he happened to notice an unusual inclusion, which was not actually the mineral that he was searching for. And it turns out that mineral is a very high pressure form of the mineral that is commonly known as olivine, called ringwoodite. It's one of the most common minerals in the earth, yet nobody had ever put their hands on a piece of ringwoodite. And so that actually then posed the immediate question, well, if it's ringwoodite, then does it have water or not?
And so is the transition zone, according to this mineral ringwoodite, is it watery or not very watery?
Well, what we found is that our ringwoodite has significant water. It has about 1.5 weight percent water. And as it happens, that agrees very well with other remote sensing techniques like magnetotelluric techniques. Those techniques have found that there might be up to 1 weight percent locally, and that the water distribution in the transition zone is patchy. And what we appear to have found is one of those wet spots, one of those oases.
But you might, you know, you can't rule out the fact that it might just be a giant waterbed. And then how much water would there be if that was the case?
Well, that's right. So the end member scenario really is that if you apply the water content of our ringwoodite inclusion to the whole of the transition zone there, then you may end up with a mass of water that's almost equivalent to the entire mass of water that's in all the world's oceans. And that's a pretty staggering volume. And so I think the next critical thing to do is to try and look for evidence of water in more of these ultra-deep diamonds and the inclusions within more ultra-deep diamonds, to try and establish how common that water signature may be. That's right.
That was Graham Pearson at the University of Alberta in Canada.